Welcome to the EU Startups Podcast. Sit back and enjoy the show hosted by Marcin Lewandowski.
You're a startup founder. Finding product market fit is probably your number one priority, but to land bigger customers, you also need security compliance. And obtaining your SOC 2 or ISO 27001 certification can open those big doors, but they take time and energy, pulling you away from building and shipping. That's where Vonta comes in. Vonta is the all-in-one compliance solution, helping startups like yours get audit ready and build a strong security foundation quickly and painlessly. How? Vonta automates the manual security tasks that slow you down, helping you streamline your audit. And the platform connects you with trusted VCSOs to build your program, auditors to get you through audits quickly, and a marketplace for essentials like pen testing. So whether you're closing your first deal or gearing up for growth, Vonta makes compliance easy. Join over 8,000 companies, including many Y Combinator and Techstars startups, who trust Vonta. Simplify compliance and get $1,000 off at vonta.com/EU startups. That's vanta.com/EU startups.
Hey everyone, this is Marcin Lewandowski and you're listening to the EU Startups Podcast. Today, I'm joined by Karim Salek, co-founder and CEO of Serian. Karim grew up in Egypt in a manufacturing family and became a professional water polo player and captain of Egypt's national team, and somehow did electrical engineering at ETH Zurich at the same time, which is crazy when you think about it. Now he's building agentic AI for factories. Serian plugs into standard cameras, watches critical production areas 24/7, and can intervene in real time, slowing, conveyors, shutting down machines, or triggering alarms to catch issues before they become safety risks, scrap, or painful downtime. Serian just raised an $18 million Series A, has grown more than 10x since 2024, and is already running in factories across 15 countries and 3 continents. In industries like glass, wood, beverages, CPG, food, and building materials. And with backing from Creandum, Hanel, Y Combinator, 10x founders, Robin Chan, Justin Kahn, Harry Stebbings, and many more, they're on a mission to build for the people who keep our world running. I think, Karim, that this was pretty good intro. If you have anything to add about yourself and Serian, this is your chance now. Welcome to the show. It's such a pleasure to have you here.
Thank you very much for having me. I think the intro is spot on.
Awesome. Amazing. So, Karim, let's just dive right into it. Congrats on the $18 million Series A. When you saw the round finally close, what was the first factory you thought about? Not the investors, the people on the line,
I think the entire process, it was still normal business, right? So we still had the business strong. We still had our customers to serve. Right. So I was never really off from thinking about the different factories we serve, right? And I think during the closing process, I think 2 on-site visits because I just had to. Yeah,
amazing. I love it. I love the answer. This is how you do it, right? This is how it works. That's why it works, actually. And Karim, I know that I already mentioned that in your intro. So you grew up in Egypt in a manufacturing family. Watching frontline teams, always on call, always firefighting. What's one moment from that time that still, drives what you're building at Serian today?
I think the biggest realization was that if you're running a real life physical business, you can never turn off, right? Mm. You're always, as you mentioned, on call. And what I remember is the days where then my father would need to sleep in the production, right? And not come back home because things were so intense. And then I would see that, hear that now offer for more customers, right? Like a production manager who was on holidays for 10 days with his kids and their family somewhere on the beach, but there is something, a big issue in the factory. Sometimes it's a literal fire and they immediately need to cut it short and go back to business, right? Mm-hmm. Or the fact that they never, like, if I, 80% of the plant managers I talk to, they never really are offline during the weekends, for example. Mm-hmm. So they have this constant 996, like, work ethic, just like to make sure that we get our basic essential needs met.
Yeah, this is crazy. I know. So my dad also he built like a construction company, and I remember I can relate to like a father sleeping on side of the manufacturing place because you just have to be on call all the time. Sometimes it happens. Yeah, that's crazy, Karim. I know that you also have spoken with like 500 plus production teams. When you listen to them, what's the one thing that's structurally broken about how factories run today?
I think there is this. Okay, if you think of factories, right? Just if we take a step back, these are 24/7, 7 days a week. High volume, low margin, right? So every hiccup in production is money loss. And if you look on how they're built, right, they have tens of machines interconnected with each other. It's extremely complex, right? And they're short on people. And people cannot be everywhere all the time. So what happens is that, of course, issues will continuously happen given the complexity of the structure. But because people can't be everywhere all the time, things go unnoticed, are only detected when really, like, things have gone to shit, right? Like you have a big jam, a big blockage, high safety risk, even sometimes fires on those plants. And relying just like on, I would say, legacy sensors, which was like laser sensors, see if something's coming or not coming, and humans to take care of this complexity is just like an unrealistic, impossible task, right? And that's what we hear often like from those production teams. And this challenge is only getting worse with the fact that manufacturers are really short on labor today. They're struggling there's a big issue in workforce shortages. If you see, like in the US alone, 600,000 manufacturing jobs are open at the moment. And this is problems only going to get worse. And the effect that it has is that it increases the stress and the pressure on our existing frontline workers and our existing teams. And the only way forward is actually automation technology to assist existing workers, right? Not to replace them, but to give them an additional hand and making sure they can operate in a simpler manner.
Yeah, this is actually great that we are here in your story, because I just wanted to, like for someone who's never been on a, shop floor, can you explain Serion like this? Like, what do your AI agents see and what do they actually do when something goes wrong?
Yeah. So if you think of that, right, like you have a production line, there's like 10 different machines connected with conveyor belts and every machine is doing a specific task and everything needs to be perfectly in sync for the end product to come out, right? You have like raw materials coming in and end product out and they go through the entire value chain. And then today you have a bunch of like traditional sensors, right? You'll just like make sure that these machines are running. And then the operator who's working, often is it one operator per line, two operators per line, depending on the industry and the setup, where they're just like making sure that everything is running as if they should, right? And if something goes wrong, it's up to them to react fast. So if you see, for example, if you take a beverage production line and then you see like a bottle falling down somewhere, if nobody detects that, that would block the production and lead to a huge jam up with one, like a lot of broken bottles, a mess, downtime, and the risk. And then the operator will need to come clean up this mess, restart the production line, and so on. And then you have the risk that it repeats. So we took it from first principles, right? We just like we're hardware agnostic. So we use either existing cameras or standard cameras that monitor all of those critical areas. So think of every machine, every transport belt, every conveyor belt. And then they also learn what the normal production process should look like and can identify issues instantly. So this can be like a process issue, right? Like a jam or a bottle falling, or also a safety risk, right? You have a spill, a flame, smoke coming out of a machine, or quality, like a broken package, missing Laban and so on, and then can intervene in real time. So whenever they see, they understand what's going on, they identify the issue in real time and take the right corrective action based on that. And this can be everything from stopping a machine, slowing down a conveyor, or triggering a shop floor alarm to alert the operator who's already there to make an action. So we detect, intervene, and thus contain the problems. And then all of this information, this visibility is provided to the production team so they know, hey, what happened, why did it happen, and take the right action to make sure these problems don't appear again.
Yeah, Karim, that sounds amazing. And generally, like speaking about, you know, taking action, your agents, as you just said, they don't just raise alerts, they intervene, they, you know, like shutting down the machines, slowing conveyors, triggering alarms. How do you design that, you know, that human plus AI partnership so people trust it, you know, instead of feeling replaced or second-guessed? Yeah.
I think it's two components. It's one, understanding deeply what are the things that the human struggles with the most and what distresses them the most, right? No human wants to be 24/7 under stress to make sure that they don't miss any issue and then need to sprint on it, right? So that's one component. So we want to make sure that you take these things out of away from them, right? So hey, we are automating the things they hate doing, the things that also put them at risk, right? If the human is running to clear up a big jam, that puts them in a very risky situation. And two is then understand, okay, what are the elements we can use to empower them with better information, better visibility, right? So one thing production teams always struggle with is that if no human was there when the problem occurred, it's very hard to identify what actually happened. You would hear from teams just like going down to the line and waiting for the problem to, and keep watching it for maybe an hour to make sure to see when the problem reappears or understand what happens. And the way we think of that, hey, how can we embed the right piece of information at the right time in the workflow of this existing human? So it's really this combination of insights to enable them, but also automating the things they don't like doing.
Yeah, I like it. Karim, you know, you've said manufacturers are resolving issues up to like 50% faster, you know, cutting downtime and scrapping half. And improving safety. Do you have, like, can you tell me one story where, you know, Cerion caught something that humans just couldn't have seen in time?
So I think the way we view it is, as we're leveraging vision, right? So the idea also the product is anything the human can see, we could react, is the idea is that you enable the human to be everywhere all at once. So we would have situations where, for example, like a famous wine glass producer, where they have one operator per line, right? And the line, production line is between 50 and 70 meters long. And then what would happen is they would be doing some maintenance work on one machine, and then a fallen glass would, like glass would fall by the end of the line. And usually it would require, they would never notice it. They would only start noticing it once really there is a huge pileup of glass and it starts falling down on the floor. So they would hear the sound of it. And now, essentially, as soon as the fallen glass happened, they hear from the Cerion's AI agent, which tells them, hey, in their local language, in that case, like it's in German, hey, liegen this glass conveyor one, right? Fallen glass in conveyor one. And they were able to resolve it just like adjust this glass and prevent this entire jam up from happening. So their job went from, hey, they would run, they would see the glass coming down on the floor, they would need to remove this whole pileup, or you would hit incredible stories of just a glass flying to their face or their necks and people getting injured by that to I just like come and remove the single glass and then it's back to business.
So what you're saying is, Karim, you just make factories boring. Like there's no more accidents anymore, people, no more.
I'm not calling it boring, right? Because you can never like that. It's so much going on and exciting. But I think what we do is we take away factory operations from constant firefighting and enable then production teams to take a step back and think, hey, how do we continuously improve? Instead of just like being in the moment and trying to run from fire to the next.
No, in this case, boring is what we want. We want factories to be boring.
Predictable.
Predictable, exactly. You're already, you know, live across glass, wood, beverage, CPG, food, building materials, and in like 15 countries and 3 continents. What surprised you most about, you know, how similar or maybe different these factories are once you start seeing them through data?
I think one exciting learning was that production is similar everywhere, wherever you go, mm-hmm. right? Like if you look at the glass factory in Europe or a glass factory in the US or LATAM, they all operate in a similar way, have the same challenges and the same struggles. Mm-hmm. And what's also interesting is production concepts are also then very similar across industries, right? Mm-hmm. There's, of course, nuances about it and there's different challenges for different, but at the end of the day, if you take a step back, manufacturing, in a sense, is like a very noble act. You just like take raw material, take one thing and put it in a value chain and different processes and create something much more valuable in the output, right? And whether that's like a glass product or a wood product or if something we consume directly goes to the consumer, you have the same challenges, right? Mm-hmm. How do you make sure you can do it in a very repeatable manner, right? Mm-hmm. Have a predictable process that doesn't fail, that has high tolerance and is robust to different changes.
Yeah.
And that's a super intellectually stimulating task, right? To always see how people fix that and learn from them and how they operate these extremely complex structures.
Yeah, amazing, Karim. Yeah, I love it. I also love seeing your passion for it. And now let's move to the fun stuff. No, I mean, it's been fun all the time, all the way. But this is amazing. You were a professional athlete and captain of Egypt's water polo team while doing engineering at ETH Zurich. I don't know, there's so many questions I could ask, but there's always like what's one thing? So maybe let's go with one thing. What's one thing you took from, you know, elite sport that's directly helping you as a founder, and maybe one thing that doesn't necessarily translate at all?
I think there's a lot of similarities in terms of being a professional athlete, right, requires also a huge sense of dedication, commitment, and sacrifice, right? Yeah. So that's also very similar in building a company. And you also have this sense of late gratification, right? Like you train your whole life for the goal of, I don't know, in 2 years, in 3 years, winning this championship or playing in that tournament. So you essentially, I think, train your mind of not needing this instant gratification, which you need when you build your company, right? Exactly. You get this long-term mindset, and you're able essentially to sacrifice. Like I remember when we were younger, right? All your friends would be out partying and you can't do that because they have a 5 a.m. training, right? And you need to be able to have that mindset where you say, okay, I'm doing that because in 12 months, I want to have this championship and I want to be able to perform and I want to win, right? And having that muscle built like from a young age is, I think, super helpful. On the other way around, there is like something which is completely then different, and I think is one of the biggest challenges to cope with as a founder is when you're an athlete, the equation is quite simple and straightforward, right? Mm-hmm. If I want to get better, I just like put in, I train more. Okay, I need to take care of rest, but that's also something we were neglecting at that time. But if I get better, if I perfect my shot, if I become faster and so on, I'm going to be a better player. While when you are building a company, it's not always that obvious, right? Input doesn't always translate into output. And that's something extremely tough and mentally to cope with generally, especially when you're used to that type of equation where it's not just like, hey, if I put the more hours in, it's not necessarily going to mean that now student is going to be on a better trajectory or I can then just like single-handedly accelerate on growth.
Yeah. Man, yeah, like 100%. Like these are, I couldn't agree more. And Yeah, so definitely like the long-term mindset is amazing to have, and like this dedication and kind of like routine that you're building, and like the habit that you, I mean, like habit is kind of like boring, like maybe not boring habits, but like habits every day is what moves you forward eventually, right? And like the more consistent you can be and the more like long-term vision you can see and just go through, even though it's like 1 year from now, like to some people 1 year from now would be like, oh man, like this is a long time. Like, how am I gonna do it every day to perform in a year from now? Like, this is crazy. So to build that muscle, as you said, it's amazing. And then, yeah, I think like once building the company, as you said, like probably it's something that you can control less than your performance in sports, right? It's like you can just go hayway, like different directions.
Exactly. You don't have this clear correlation between input and output. There is one, of course, but it's not always there. Like, you're for sure not going to have output, strong, good output, if you don't put in the input.
100%. Yeah.
But vice versa, it doesn't apply. Mm. And I think that's one of the things that, like, when you're building a company or also doing anything, right, you need to be final with that. Mm. You're going to be getting in your reps without necessarily seeing this progress or at the moment, and it's okay, because as long as you're working in the right direction and you're doing the right things, right, and you're also doing the hard things, you'll get there. And that's what I believe in.
Yeah, you got to be fine with failing. Like, it's failing is fine. Like, just like, anyways, you start doing something, and even like as a professional athlete, you can probably say as well, like, once you were starting, maybe you didn't suck so much at it, but you weren't as good as where you were at, like, your top, you know, shape after like years of actually doing it. So like, just go do stuff. Like, don't be afraid of failing. Don't be afraid of actually sucking at something. Like, just go suck at something. Like, do it, right? It's like the whole mindset. And I just wanted to say that Karim is not joking here, because he played like three world championships, and you guys have been you won the African Cup, right?
Yeah, so we've been African champions, participated in 3 world championships. Could have for sure done more and performed better, but
That's the ambition. You always can do better, of course. But man, this is incredible. This is amazing. Congrats. And I love hearing your story. I love hearing the insights. Karim, so Serion has, you know, grown more than 10x since 2024. Speaking of failing that I was talking about, like, what broke first at that pace? You know, because it sounds like a pretty fast pace. The product, the org, or your calendar maybe. And how did you fix it?
I don't say anything broke. I just like think the intensity significantly increased for our team. And I say this props to our incredible team that they were able to keep up with that and make sure that we keep delivering to our customers in the best way possible, right? And we keep generating happy customers at scale, and even as we grew. And I think it helped us bond us better as a team. And sets us in the perfect position for the growth journey to come.
Mm. Nice. I like the short and to the point answer. Karim, you wrote somewhere, I think. I read it somewhere while doing research for this podcast. Let's build for the people that keep our world running. If Serion fully succeeds, how is life different for production team leader walking into their shift 10 years from now? Or maybe 5 years from now. 10 years is like a long time.
Yeah. I think for one, it's much safer.
Yeah.
10 times less stressful. Mm-hmm. And less firefighting. So we want to go away from the point where you're continuously running from a problem for problem, which is extremely stressful, right? Like, if that's also the case, like, you go crazy if that's the case, or if you're running a startup, to a point where you can really spend 80% of your time and your capacity on innovating and thinking, how do we get better? How do we improve our processes? How do we get more productive? And how to become more competitive, right? Yeah. And I think the ultimate goal and one thing I hope that we are able to contribute to as Sirion is to inspire more people to build for manufacturing, right? Mm-hmm. Inspire more people to work in manufacturing. And my ideal scenario is to go from manufacturing being of the industries, right, where you have like these big workforce shortages and so on, being one of the hottest industries to work in. Just because if you go into this factory, right, if for any engineer or anyone like who's intellectually curious, it's super exciting, right? To see how all of these machines work together, how everything needs to be perfect and tuned to be able to run production in a seamless manner and get the output you desire. Yeah. And then if you can go into those environments and not need to worry about like all of the safety risks, the constant firefighting, and so on, but really took it as a need. I think that's the most exciting place anyone who studies engineering would want to do, right? Or anyone who just like likes to feel physical things and have like see this direct impact right away
literally would want to build stuff, right?
Right. So I think that's the future we hope we can help create.
Amazing. I love it, Karim. Thank you for sharing. And so this is the time during the podcast that I usually play a little game with my guests. It's a like rapid fire game. So like I shoot a fast question at you. You give me a fast answer. Are you up for playing?
Let's go.
All right. Amazing. Okay. So Karim, what's harder, 5 a.m. water polo training or fundraising Series A?
Fundraising.
Nice. Yeah. Most underrated job on a factory floor that, you know, tech people don't appreciate enough?
Automation engineers.
Nice. One thing every founder should steal from professional athletes.
Routine.
Nice. And the long-term vision.
And the long-term vision.
Right? Yeah. That also would be a good one.
But I assume that every founder has that, right? So I assume that they're right.
Kind of, but true. Karim, biggest misconception people have about factories in 2025?
That everything runs like perfectly and there's no opportunities to improve and to introduce new technology to help.
Mm. And this is the last one. We talked about it. So I think I know the word that you're going to use for this one. So finish this sentence. The factory of the future is...
running with Sirion.
Nice. I like it. I thought you were going to say safe, but it's nice. Running with Sirion means it's safe. Amazing. Thank you so much for joining us today, Karim. It's been such a pleasure to have you on the show. I hope to meet you in person, as I told you in pre-recording, again soon, because we did it already some time ago. Thank you so much. And again, congrats. And I loved it. I think people will love it. And I hope you had fun.
Thanks, man. It was great. Looking forward to meeting you in person again.